Welcome to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the book club and podcast with your hosts, Sarah, Kit, and Marianne. Three friends who talk about all things books, food, and travel. Welcome, readers, eaters, and travelers to Read, Eat, Travel, Repeat, the podcast and book club where books take us beyond the page. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kit.
And I'm Marianne. Today, we'll be talking about the books we have read recently and books we think you need to add to your TBR.
This episode is spoiler-free, so if a book you haven't read is mentioned, don't worry. We won't spoil it for you. And as always, we are adults and are going to say some questionable things.
It happens.
Maybe just me. All right. Let's get right to it.
All right.
I think Sarah and I were saying, I didn't think I read that many books this month, but surprise, surprise, I did.
I know.
So let's dive right into what we read this month. Sarah, you want to go first?
Sure. Okay, so yeah, I was driving a lot this month, I feel like. I was constantly in the car. So I listened to a lot of books, which is fine because I love a good audiobook. I think I did 10 this month, which is kind of a lot. I read The Arc of What Happened to Lucy Vale, which actually it's not really an arc anymore. It released September 1st, but it's still on Edelweiss or wherever I got it from. I don't remember. Twin Mysteries, Missing Girls, taking place several years apart. I liked it. I thought the end felt a little rushed. I kind of wanted a little more explanation, but I forgot how much I liked Lauren Oliver. That was really the thing.
Yeah.
I was like, God,
yeah.
I really like her writing. I forgot all those books. So after that, I should have put this in the order that I'll talk about. After that, I went and picked up Panic because I have not read Panic since it came out. And I watched, there's a TV show on it. On Amazon Prime, like one of those limited release series where there's like eight episodes or whatever. And I'm watching the show this summer going, oh my God, this is so good. And I don't remember any of this in the book. Like, so I re-listened to Panic by Lauren Oliver.
Is it the third one?
No, it's a standalone, but.
Is it? Okay.
It is a group of teens. The show on Amazon takes place in Texas, this city called Carp, but I want to say it's Carp, New York. In the book. And it's like back roads, hardly anybody in the town. So the kids play a game called Panic after they graduate from high school, and everybody pays to get in. Like it's just kind of assumed. All the kids in the high school, even if they're not seniors, they pay. So the kids, when they win like $25,000. Like it's a huge amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But the things they do are incredibly dangerous. So there's like a little amount of like mystery to it. And the main character, she really wants to get out of town. It kind of follows three or four characters and something that happened. I really love the TV show. It develops it a little more in a good way. Like the book is really good, but the TV show, because you could do a little more character,
like it's more
development.
Episodic.
Like there's a character, Ray, who has a lot more in the TV show than he does in the book. And I really liked that. But that was another one. I was like, oh, I'm glad that I picked that one up. So and then I feel like because it was October, it was spooky month for me, and I wanted to read all of the mysteries and thrillers and crazy things. So also, I did a few rereads. First one, of course, being Panic. The second was Devil in the White City by Eric Larson. Nonfiction, account of World's Columbian Exposition in Chicago, 1893. So you've got Gilded Age, Chicago, World's Fair, and it's about H.H. Holmes, America's first serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
It is so good.
I feel like I have to add that to my.
You haven't read that yet?
Going on my TBR immediately.
It is like, I don't know if I remember reading it and reading it like cover to cover, but it's a lot of information. So I was glad that I listened to it the second time because it follows, it's kind of like follows three different things. One is what is cut up into pieces because it follows the architects who designed the World's Fair.
Okay.
And there are some pretty big names. They did a lot of the buildings in Chicago, including the Rook, the Rookery one, the one that looks like the, they had their offices were in there. And Frederick Law Olmsted, who designed Central Park and Stanford University and the Biltmore Gardens. And he's a was a landscape architect.
And Bock Tower Gardens in Florida.
Yeah. Like he's done huge. Having gone to the Biltmore, I love Frederick Law Olmsted. I have a biography of him, too, on my list to read one of these days. But so it follows those two, like, as they kind of struggle to figure out how to get the World's Fair going. What their big reveal is going to be ends up being the Ferris wheel. That's where the invention of the Ferris wheel came from. followed by kind of like jumps chapters back and forth between this guy whose name, he changed his name to H.H. Holmes, and he is a medical doctor, and he builds a hotel just south of the exposition where he lures young women in and kills them, Sweeney Todd style.
Okay.
Like cuts them up, throws them down the, you know, like disposes of their bodies kind of thing. Super fascinating. So it's the whole like all this good, but it also came a lot of bad. Mm-hmm. Really, really interesting. And so many interesting things came from this World Exposition.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cracker Jack, Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
Yeah.
Juicy Fruit. Like there's a whole list of random things that have came from the World's Fair. The other one, I swear I read somewhere and I could not find it, that the Pledge of Allegiance, that's where the Pledge of Allegiance is from.
Interesting.
That they wanted something for, please do. They wanted something for kids to say, and I'm pretty sure it was the Pledge of Allegiance. But yeah, so if you like it, some of the thing, I mean, it can be kind of gruesome, but it's like really balanced by the architectural things of it. But like he would like kill people and get them down to just their bones and then sadly sell their skeletons to doctors. So doctors had the skeletons of real people whose family did not know that the person was gone in their, you know, because that's what they did. Those skeletons that you used to have in doctor's offices, those were real. Those weren't like the fake skeletons. They were somebody donated. So a lot of really interesting things if you're into that kind of stuff.
And you are correct.
Yeah.
The Pledge of Allegiance was, I found it on the Living History of Illinois and Chicago group. It was written for the Chicago World's Columbian Exposition in 1893, honoring the 400th anniversary of Columbus landing in the Americas.
Yep.
Because there was a movement to get flags into every single classroom in the United States.
Well.
That was kind of like the push was like the schoolhouse flag movement.
Well, it worked because we say it every morning at school.
Every morning. And it was the pledge was actually originally published in 1892 in the Youth's Companion magazine.
Yep.
And then someone from the Chicago World's Fair picked up on it and was like, ooh, let's like refine this a little bit. Yeah.
Yep.
And they kind of like tweaked it and refined it. And the person who wrote it was Francis Bellamy. He went to speak at a national meeting. We're getting like a whole history lesson here. National meeting of school superintendents to promote, one, the celebration and the Chicago World's Fair and the idea of this like unifying act for like every child.
So
it
really was a school thing too, then. Like it literally
It was a school thing first. And then because it was kind of connected.
Yeah.
And the original pledge was, I pledge allegiance to my flag and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
So missing one crucial section that was added later.
You know.
That maybe bends that whole church and state line.
It's okay.
But the original one was very non-religious.
Yeah.
So
there
you go.
Yeah.
And Bellamy went and talked to the president. And
I think when the president came to the World's Fair, they wanted the kids to like say it and
say
front
it all
of him
together.
Or something.
Convinced President Benjamin Harrison to announce a proclamation making the public school flag ceremony the center of the Columbus Day celebrations and thereby part of the World's Fair. The picture that's in this article that I'm reading is crazy cake. It is.
Terrifying.
It does it a little bit. It doesn't say what year the picture is from, but it is a tiny child holding a flag.
Of course.
And about 20 or so other children and their teachers standing in front of the flag giving what could only be referenced as the Nazi salute.
Yep. I was going to say, that's my guess that that's where that was going.
Yeah.
Excuse
as opposed
me, sir.
To, you know, what we do now. Which is I sit at my desk, but, you know, other people stand.
I know. My little office is in the office right now, so I stand always. A lot of times I have first block prep, and so I don't.
Yeah.
Just me in the room, but. Okay.
Then there you go. So whether that stays in the podcast or not, there's your history lesson.
We read books and give history, right? next book I read, this has been on my TBR for a while because I met Megan, the author. when I did the big author thing in the spring. Silent Sister, Megan David Iser. I think I'm pronouncing that right. YA mystery.
Oswald.
Being naughty.
Of course.
We haven't had any Oswald moments in a while, so. So Silent Sisters, YA mystery. One sister disappears from a class trip and another can't remember what happens. Like, she's found with no memory of what happened. One is really outgoing. The girl that's found is outgoing, and the other one's kind of the wallflower. They are like, I don't remember how, they're not twins, but they're in the same grade because their ages are so kind of, I don't remember if they're like 10 months apart or like if one was behind in a year for some reason. And so they ended up both being in the same grade. So they're very different sisters. This book was so good. Especially, I was like, ooh, YA mystery. Really excited about that because it's hard to find good mystery. I feel like that's appropriate for high schoolers. She's got a new book coming out called Gaslit, which releases in 2026. So, and I loved the cover of this book. I like keep looking at it. I'll show it to you guys.
Ooh.
And I do like and that. I look at this for a long time. The clip didn't look like a hair clip to me. It looked like a monster. Like,
yeah,
teeth.
I was going to say, I think like that, teeth. Like, yeah, that's what I thought
and
it was
just,
at first.
I think that's so creative. Yeah. And then there's like blood. And then it kind of, I won't say anything more, but I really, really liked it. So
nice.
Super happy for Megan. Excited for her next book. Definitely recommend that one. Then, of course, 13th Child. We talked about that already. And then I read like three other thrillers right in a row. The Chateau by Avery Bishop, about a couple who's on a mini moon staying at this chateau in New York. And they find themselves entangled in a murder investigation after a body's found.
Ooh.
So kind of one of those, the story's told as the police are asking her questions and she's telling them what she knows. She's apparently the only woman seen, the only person seen with this woman that's found dead the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. So many twists and turns. There were many times when I was like, I thought I had it figured out like a quarter of the way through. And I was like, if this is true, this book sucks because I shouldn't figure it out. Right. And then it was like, oh, wait, no, that is so like totally wrong. So loved it.
Nice.
The next two, The Room Next Door by Wendy Walker. And then I also read Mad Love by Wendy Walker because I loved the first one so much. And it was, I think, a free one on Audible. And I was like, okay. The Room Next Door, another thriller where this couple, a cheating couple, of course, they're staying in a swanky hotel that's more like duplex rooms. And so they think they hear a murder in the next room, like through the wall kind of thing. And then Mad Love, the seemingly perfect couple found, one is shot dead and the other is in a coma and the kids are suspected. It's like a. And lots, again, both of them had so many twists and turns. And I feel like I read enough thrillers now, I start to see things coming. I didn't see it coming in either one of these books. I was like, I don't
know. Nice.
And then I read Dating After the End of the World, Geneva Rose, her zombie apocalypse romance.
Is it good?
It was. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
The writing is not. I mean, it's the writing's not brilliant. It's Geneva. It's funny.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. Funny romance with a bit of zombie gore, like literally romance, but also like ripping his arm off, you know?
No, okay.
It was definitely a fun read. I would recommend it. It was, especially if you're not totally, it almost like the romance balanced out kind of the zombie stuff with it, which was kind of cool. And then I read Rebel Witch, which was the second in that Crimson Moth series. Heartless Hunter was the first one. Oh my gosh, this might be one of my newest romanticist favorites. These were so good. These characters are so, I love them both so much. Rune Winter's Gideon Sharp. In this one, they're like, okay, so remember the first one, they were enemies to lovers, kind of to enemies again. Well, now they're like enemies to lovers to enemies to lovers.
That's my favorite.
Like they,
I love that.
After the end of the first book, he's like super pissed at her. And so then in this book, he literally at the beginning is like holding a gun to her head kind of thing, but they're lovers by the end. Like it's their banter, banter and everything as they're fighting for the freedom of this world. They keep running into each other and having to secretly work with each other, but not really. And they're both kind of, it was so good. so good. And I just, I love them so much. So, and then my last one I read with my English class. So I actually read it three times because it's out loud. Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds.
Yep.
Which is a book written in verse about a kid who whose brother is shot in gang violence. And he runs upstairs to his house and grabs his brother's gun with the intention of seeking revenge. And the whole story, once you get past like a prologue chapter, the whole rest of the story is takes place in 60 seconds, the amount of time it takes him to get from the top elevator to the bottom. And he has to decide whether or not he's going to go through with it. But the floor, the elevator stops at every floor and somebody gets on and talks to him about
it's such a good book.
So good. My students loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it, which is rare. So,
yeah.
So there we go. I had quite the range.
That's a good one. You did. Random. That was quite the spread.
From like, yeah, that really shows that I will literally read anything. So, all right. Who's up next? Marianne, are we going in order?
Okay. We can.
Okay.
Okay. So I didn't, I guess I didn't read as much as I thought I did, but I'm sure probably missing something. One of the first books I read in October was Lovelight Farms by B.K. Borison. She was real big on book talk. About a year ago for her book, First Time Caller, which was kind of a redo of Sleepless in Seattle. Was it Sleepless in Seattle with the, yes, with the call, like where the kid calls in to, okay. And so this must have been one of her earlier books. And it was a cute, it was a really cute book. It was about a Christmas tree farm owner who like invested some money that she had into the girl who, in, a woman, I should say, invested the money that she had into a Christmas tree farm, but it's struggling. She applies to this social media influencers contest where the social media influencer will come out and do like a segment from the farm. And then the winner gets $25,000 and that's going to save the farm. But she put on the application that it was she and her boyfriend were running the farm. So in comes some fake dating with her longtime platonic best friend. And it was very cute, just like light and fun, some spice. But, you know, it was a lot. It was just like a fun read. I enjoyed that one a lot. Less like Christmas cheer. I listened to The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue for one of my book clubs. And it's about this woman who like sells her soul to the devil in return for, what was it? Not to never be forgotten, but she ends up, it ends up that nobody remembers her. Okay. So if you walk out the door, you will forget you ever met her. And she's like immortal. She never dies. So she's lived like 300 years. But she's completely forgotten. Like she can't hold a job. So she has to like steal to get anything because you can't hold a job if your boss doesn't remember you the next day. And then she finally meets somebody who actually remembers her. And then the plot thickens. And this is the book that just kind of epitomized. It wasn't the ending you wanted, but it was the ending they needed because you kind of want this all to get wrapped up in a pretty little bow and it doesn't, but it was good for both the main characters. So I enjoyed that one a lot. It's another one that I probably, I don't know if I would have gotten through it if I'd read it rather than listened to it. Because it's one of my coworkers, it's a book club I have at work, and she had said how it's kind of like top heavy, like when you first start it, there's so much like world building and whatever, explaining her whole course that, you know, it doesn't really get into the meat of the story. And so I think if I read it, I might not have gotten all the way through it, but I really enjoyed it. Listen to the Scorpio Races. Just finished that, I guess, Friday.
Like, and Sarah and I just made the exact same face when you said it. We both just went,
love it so much.
So I know. And just the male narrator especially is so good.
Yes.
I
can't,
it just and actually listening to the Maggie note at the end and how much she appreciates like audiobooks for really bringing her books to life and being able to incorporate her music. And she talks about all of her musical instruments that she can play. And you know, other thing was too, is like, you know, we read all these like spicy books that are so like anatomically detailed. Uh-huh. And this one like has all the so feels
subtle.
Like
so subtle.
Like what, two kisses or something.
Yes.
And you know, it's like
not even the kisses though, the horseback rides.
Yes.
We'll get to this for our next speaker, but also.
But it's like, it just shows you that you don't need all of that, you know, detail sometimes to just be like, oh,
literally,
you know. So what else did I have? The Irish Goodbye by Heather Amy O'Neill. If I remember correctly, it's a debut novel. It's about it's a family drama about this family who's had this house for many, many years, many, many generations. And there's just been like these tragedies and just, it was a good book, but it wasn't like something that's really stuck with me. You know, it was good, but it was sad at the same time. Like, so I really don't know what else to say about it. My mind's just going blank on it.
That's how little it stuck with you, but
it wasn't a bad book at all.
The cover is very pretty. I like the cover.
And I guess I was expecting it to be in Ireland since it's the Irish Goodbye, but it's more like an Irish family in, you know, I think up in the Northeast or New England.
Long Island, East End of Long Island.
Long Island.
Yes. You're right. It's in Long Island. And like I said, it wasn't bad, but it was just like, it was kind of sad sometimes too. And like, about secrets and how they just can destroy a family. And it's, you know, some parts of it were sad. And some
sounds interesting.
Can,
I might.
I'm not mad that I read it. I just is like drawing a blank on it right now. I read We Were Liars. And
have you not read that one before?
No, I hadn't. Because
Oh my God.
I haven't read much YA lately.
Okay.
And it was just kind of sad and depressing. I mean, it was like, it was good, but I don't know. It's just like money can't buy you happiness.
No.
And just like the whole have and have nots and how they treated, what was his name?
Gat.
As, you know, such an outsider. And I don't know. It was just sad. It was well written. It was a interesting story, but it's just kind of like,
people either when I recommend that book to my students all the time.
Uh-huh.
Like that's one of the first ones. The girls, I'm like, you got to read We Were Liars. You either love it or hate it because of the ending.
Right.
And as my daughter Kara says, she goes, it's the dogs that get me. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, yes,
the
yes.
She's like, Mom, why the dogs? There is a TV show on Amazon Prime too. So I think that's why it's gotten a little more press because of it. And so that's why everyone that has read the book too, like my students, they all texted me afterwards and like, I forgot about the dogs.
Yeah.
And you're like, well,
sorry.
I didn't dislike it. I just was like, it was
sometimes sad.
Just
it's
like,
sad.
Yeah.
I read to like escape. Yeah. And then when it's sad, it's just hard to like come. It was sad.
Yeah.
And my favorite book of the month was Once Upon a Time in Dollywood, and it's about I don't know where I heard somebody recommend this book.
I've never heard of this, and I'm adding it too because I love Gatlinburg.
I hate Gatlinburg. Honestly, hate Gatlinburg.
I,
but
I don't like being downtown Gatlinburg.
I prefer
to be in Weirs Valley, which is like
And so it's the same. The book doesn't really take place in downtown Gatlinburg. Mm-hmm. And
you skipped Home Before Dark also, so you have to go back and talk about that after. Yeah, no, you can do Once Upon a Time in Dollywood first, or go back to Home Before Dark.
For my other book club, we read Home Before Dark by Riley Sager. I'd never read any of his books. I always want to think that he's a she because I mostly know Rileys who are girls. But I thought it was going to be like spookier than what it was. It was just twisty. It wasn't spooky. But I'd read more of his stuff. I enjoyed it a lot. It was like enough twist to keep me interested, but not so much that, you know, you get frustrated with it or feel like you're being manipulated. Definitely enjoyed that one. But yeah, going back to, let me go back to Once Upon a Time in Dollywood. So it's about this New York City, it was my favorite of the month. It's about a New York City playwright. And she is dealing with like miscarriages and trying to get pregnant. And she just like breaks up with her fiance, like over dinner at her parents' house. She basically says, I'm going to Gatlinburg by myself and you're not coming. And he's like, oh, does this mean we're breaking up? And she's like, yeah, you know, and so she goes down there to try and like deal with some stuff that's going on. And totally not looking for romance, which of course she means she's going to find it. And the guy next door to her grandma's little cabin is like a single dad who's dealing with his own issues. And there's a lot of spice in it, but it's not spice for the sake of spice. Okay. It's spice for the sake of showing her opening up and learning to trust somebody.
Okay.
Okay, so it was kind of, I don't want to say it was a slow, I don't even know how to explain it, but like she had this trauma at 17 that her family just swept under the table and refused to ever talk about again. And so it was really difficult for her to open up and truly be with somebody. And it was just a really good story. And, you know, of course, there's like the third act breakup and all that sort of stuff, but I just really enjoyed that. I just thought it was really well written. It was interesting because of the perspective. She was a Black woman. He was a white man. Some of their discussions about race. But he was like a very open-minded and well-read white man. So like she had misconceptions about him as a white man, you know, assuming that
I like
he was,
that, yeah.
You know, so I liked a lot of that too. So it was a real good book. So I would definitely recommend it.
Good. Nice. What did you, okay, Riley Sager, you liked his books?
Yes.
I love his books. He's one of my favorite thriller authors.
I don't think I've ever read a Riley Sager book.
Well, didn't you read last month? You read,
did I read one?
No, Marianne did Only One Left. Okay. Only One Left?
I don't know. Did I?
Did you read Only One Left? Or maybe we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Because that one, like, holy cow, that one messed with my mind so much.
Yeah, and see, I didn't find this one really mess with my mind.
No,
it just felt like
his other ones are more straight mystery in a good way.
Yeah.
Or like true gothic horror is kind of what some of the other ones have been.
I do like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one was about like, you know, this one was like about a family who moved into this house and all these creepy things are happening and they think it's haunted and but the husband thinks it's, one of them thinks it's haunted. The other one thinks he's crazy for thinking he's haunted and so it was fun. But yeah.
Good. So yeah, I haven't read that one yet. That one's on my list. So
yeah, I ended up having to actually buy it because
it was so new.
My book club picked it on a meeting that I wasn't there because I usually try to make sure we get something that is available
accessible.
At the library.
We do the same thing, something that's available. Yeah.
And so I wasn't there that night and they picked it. And so I had to actually buy it, but whatever, 10 bucks is 10 bucks. So
it happens sometimes. Right? I know.
Okay. And Kit, what you got this month?
I was saying earlier, I didn't think I read that many books this month because I started my new job 2 weeks ago and have read nothing. Like I've finished nothing in the last 2 weeks. And then when I went back to my list, I was like, well, dang, I did actually like get a lot done the first half of October. The first one I read, well, I listened to on Spotify is Roll for Romance by Lenora Woods. I loved this one. The narrators were awesome. It's basically this girl, big city. She has a breakdown because it's like too much pressure. She's kind of a advertisement designer. So she moves to Texas to stay with her best friend for the summer. Her best friend has convinced her that like what you really need is to participate in a Dungeons and Dragons campaign. And she kind of finds herself loving art again for the sake of loving art. And there's also like a little bit of a small town romance that happens too. So it was really, really cute. The banter is really funny. I really liked that one. And then similar to Sarah, I'm reading all over the map this month. Then I read The Devil's Done Come Back by Ed Southern. This was a arc. And it's an anthology, and it released at the end of September, so you can totally just go grab it now. And it's all stories ghost stories and kind of like haunted areas of North Carolina. So it's this really nice combination of like history and mystery and some like mythology. And I really, really enjoyed that. It really wove kind of the history and the storytelling pretty seamlessly, which I liked. And then I got another arc in a completely different genre. And this one is Holiday Ever After by Hannah Grace. This is also from Ada Wise. And this one also just came out the end of September, so you can get it. And this is for when you love Hallmark movies.
Oh, I do love a good Hallmark
movie. That's pretty much the sum total of this book. It's about a small town toy store. A big toy store conglomerate comes in, says they're going to partner with them, and instead just steals their idea. And it becomes this like whole catastrophe. And of course, our city girls got to go to the small town and try and like mend fences. And it's perfect enemies to lovers, grumpy sunshine, like aggressively sunshine. Like she's like, oh no, I have to like win over his grumpy by being as aggressively positive as possible. And it's hysterical. So it's super well done and adorable. So if you're like a Hallmark movie person, this one's for you.
What else has she written? I feel like I know.
I'm not sure. It's the first book by her that I've read.
Did she write the Icebreaker? I was like, she wrote the hockey romances, didn't she?
Yeah. I didn't read one. I've had it on my shelf forever.
So it wasn't spicy? Holiday Ever After, not spicy?
It's spicy. Spicy's a sliding scale.
Like, I would say, because Icebreaker
is spicy.
Spicy. And it's at that cover and you're like,
it's not spice, but it's not
Okay.
It's not like the last book I'm going to talk about.
Oh, God. Okay.
And then I had a reread of one of my favorite authors in the whole world is Allie Melanenko. She writes middle grade horror. And her new book I read as an ARC a while ago. And so I reread it when it came out because I immediately ordered myself a copy, pre-order the minute I could. I'm so happy that it's out in the world. And what Allie does best is she takes like seemingly like normal things, like in this one, a doll. In her other book, there's a scene that involves teeth. And she writes it in the creepiest way possible so that there's no way for your brain to separate it in your daily life moving forward. Like anytime I see teeth, I like tag her in a Twitter post. And I'm like, Allie, teeth. And now every time I see like creepy dolls, I'm like, dear Allie, creepy dolls. Like, Yeah. Something about the way she writes just kind of like digs into your brain and that association happens. And you're just like, yes, creepy dolls, Allie. Like, but it's such a good book. And she does write very specifically for middle grade readers. Mm-hmm. Which I love because there's sometimes a lack of books that are written specifically for that age group. And she does it so well. And then I had another arc. This one's from Story Sirens. It's called Calyx. It hits that like dark romance vibe. Like it, like a kind of academic horror. And this is one that mileage may vary. This book is not for everybody because he is a straight up stalker and she knows it. Like she is fully aware that she should stay as far away from him as possible. And she's like, but also maybe I like it. So this is definitely one where like heed the warnings, heed the trigger warnings because it may not be for you. However, it is so well written that if this is your vibe, it's a solid entry into kind of the lexicon because it's super well written. You get the characters right out the gate. You might not like them, but you get it. So it'll mess with your head a little bit though, but it was very good. And then I read The 13th Child, which obviously I love the way we talked about it on our last episode. If you haven't listened to our last episode yet, now's your moment.
You should.
Because we love this one.
We went very in depth with this book.
Very. And then I listened to a book called Truth or Beard by Penny Reed, which has been on my shelf for a few months. And I picked it up a few times and just couldn't get into it. And I have so many thoughts that I will bring up later because this did end up being my top book of the month. So I'll talk about it more at the end. But the long and the short of it is these two main characters are so bad for each other. And I only kept listening out of like anger. Like I was like, I want to know if this author pulls it together in the end in a way that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so sorry, Penny Reed. I didn't know your game. I did not have faith. I thought I was going to end this book being mad. And then I didn't. I was like really happy with how she pulled it all together. And I was like, okay, fine. But I was like, it was like a spite listen. And then I was happy. But it's a good one. I recommend. And then I'm including it because it's the longest book that I read this month, despite not being an actual book. This is called Art Heist Baby. It is by OTRTBS, and it is a Marauders fanfic. And it is
721 pages.
720. And that's not even my longest fanfic that I've read for Marauders. It is so beautifully written, but it... Because the art heist that was recently in the news.
Oh, yeah.
So a bunch of friends that had gotten me into Marauders fanfic about 3 years ago. So Will and Risa, shout out to you guys. We all reread Art Heist Baby because it is so good if you are a Harry Potter Marauders fan. It's a good one that isn't it's devastating, but because every single fanfic in that... fandom is, but it's so good. So I read that. And then my last book is my unhinged book. It is Halloween. We chose it during our last episode. It is by Holly Wild. It has the best cover art. If you all remember what that one looked like, it's a pumpkin penis. And I did not love this one. And it was good. It was well written. I think, and I read it on Halloween night, I was like, thematically, this fits. But I feel like it was just trying to do a little too much because it had a haunted, like a cursed town. There's sentient jack-o'-lanterns. You can get trapped in haunted houses. It starts with like a bonfire ghost story. It's like, it almost felt like it was trying to give too much context. And then there's like three sentient jack-o'-lanterns and then it's just straight smut. But then also you got to resolve this curse. Like I was like, you either have to give me all the good backstory, similar to like the, oh no, there's an incubus in my hot springs. Like that one had so much backstory and context that the smut was secondary, or you have to go full were turkey. Where there's no story and context. It's just unhinged.
You can't
smut.
Try to be like, yeah.
All this of it. One felt, yeah, it was trying, I felt like it was trying to do too much. That said, the writing was really good. Like, it was like, I understood the curse. I like, it didn't feel like any of it was like rushed to like shoehorn in. It just felt, I was like, but I just want to get to the smut or tell me more about this curse. Like, it just didn't quite level out for me, but I would still read some of her other books. Like there is some other hysterical looking books, so I'll definitely jump into more.
I mean, she's got one for like every season, so you got some Christmas ones.
She also has one that's like a TBR pile one. I was like, done.
Oh yeah,
like I'll definitely be reading that.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
But it was
one.
Good. It was good. It was just a little for my liking, just a little too much of everything.
That's hard to imagine. I'm sorry, but it's hard to imagine there being too much of anything
too much
for you.
For you.
I need, I guess too much or not enough. Like I needed more of the backstory.
More of one or less
it.
Of, yeah.
Yeah. I needed a better balance.
So your sentient Halloween pumpkin smut didn't have enough backstory. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you're going to tell me that the whole town is cursed in a very Bloody Mary sort of way, like you can call a jack-o'-lantern through your mirror. I need all the information.
Right.
Like I need to know, like you can't just be like, and then you say jack-o'-lantern into the mirror. No, I need to know why. I want to know. Like,
tell me more about this curse. Like, yeah.
Tell me more about this curse. Like, who are these? Like, I want all the, if you're going to give me a little, you better give me all of it.
That's funny.
And then, of course, you know, the jack-o'-lanterns, you're like, it's a very, I'm going to go sideways. Did anyone watch Fargo, the last season of Fargo?
No. I watched the movie, but so, I never watched the show.
Joe Keery was in it, who I adore from Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. But he played, I'm going to blank on his name, but he's the sheriff's son, and he's also like a cop. But at one point in the show, he dresses as Jack Skellington, but like sexy Jack Skellington, because he's got like his thigh holster on and he's like walking down the street. And that's how I imagined these jack-o'-lanterns being. I was like, okay, I get it. Like sexy I immediately was like, yes, yes, Joe Keery. Like,
okay.
I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah, like if you're going to look like that and walk around like that, I'm 100% right. in. So that's how I envisioned these jack-o'-lanterns. But then like give me more of that and get rid of this backstory or give me all the backstory. I need a complete picture. If we're going to do it, let's do it all the way.
Oh my gosh.
So there's that.
Okay.
Anyway.
For usual. Quite the range of everything, yes. as usual.
Which brings us to our questions.
Okay. So, what character would you like to go on a road trip with?
Ma. Okay, so I could not pick a character, so I'm going to pick Julia Whalen, the narrator, because she could just read to me all day, and I could just listen to her voice. But the only problem is I always listen on like 1.4 speed. So I have to ask her to talk faster.
My friend, you gotta talk a little faster.
Speed it up a little bit.
I'm sorry, I can't listen to you talk like this. You need to talk like this.
I bet she talks more like that in real life. I bet she talks
probably faster. Probably yeah. I could think of a character that I was like, why? I would love to listen to. And did you see she reposted our video and we got
she
lots
did.
Of views
Yay!
On it? Yes, yes.
I didn't mention in my reviews, The Room Next Door and Mad Love were both, part of the reason I picked them is because they were narrated by her.
Oh, cool.
Like, they were narrated by her, but like, it was almost kind of radio play-ish. There were multiple characters, but she was the main one.
Okay.
And other characters, like if she read it would be like if the chapter was through her character's point of view, she'd read the whole chapter.
Okay.
But then sometimes there would be like characters like I overheard this conversation and then you'd hear these three characters talking.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was very cool way to listen. I liked that. And I noticed another person when I was listening. I was like, I know that voice. And I looked it up and it's Elizabeth Evans who does all of Sarah J. Maas.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, two of my favorite in one. So that's why I picked that one. So
who would you go on a road trip with, Sarah?
I put on here. I struggled because everything I read, I was like, well, my favorite book was Devil in the White City, but I sure as heck don't want to go on a road trip with H.H. Holmes.
For sure.
Because he had a couple of those road trips that people didn't come home.
Mm-hmm.
So I said Blake from Dating After the End of the World. He's the male love interest, mostly because he's pretty fit and could definitely keep me
Nothing
safe.
Nothing wrong with that.
I mean, he like knows how to kill a zombie, if you know what I mean.
There you go.
So I was like... Maybe Blake. I would not worry about anything if Blake was in the car with me. So
nice.
What about you, Kit?
I went Noah from Roll for Romance. He's kind of like a free spirit wanderer. He just kind of like rolls in his like camper van, sets up shop for a bit.
I love that.
And so then, he's like kindred spirit right?
And then when he's like ready for the next adventure, like off he goes. But he seems like the sort that would know like all the off the beaten path, like hidden gems. Which is always my favorite.
Yes.
So I was like, I would 100% get in your potentially weird, like, kidnapper van and go on an adventure.
Kidnapper van.
I don't know what it looks like. It might be a totally normal camper van. Who knows? But I'd go.
You know.
All right. Next question. Are there any places you would like to go in these books, Sarah?
Well, I've already been to Chicago many times, but there is a Devil in the White City tour that I want to do so badly. And every time I'm in Chicago, I never have time to do the tours. Mm-hmm. But they take you on an architectural tour of the buildings that what's left of where the World's Fair was, because most of it, you know, they would do those fairs and they would tear them down.
Right.
And they were done. Museum of Science and Industry. The lagoon in front is still there. And the island, which Frederick Law Olmsted did most of the landscape on, that's still there. And then I was just reading part there. It was one of the offices of the World's Fair is actually the Art Institute now. So it's like, it's certain buildings. Yeah. I didn't know that one. But I really want to do that tour because they show you like take you to the place, the hotel that H.H. Holmes owned does not exist anymore. Thank God. It burned down. He tried burning it down and then it burned down later and they suspect that somebody burned it down to keep evidence away kind of thing. But you can go to like the corner. This is where it used to be. This is where, and I just think that would be a really fun tour to do. Chicago is one of those big cities that has lots of fun tours. So how about you, Ma?
I picked Dollywood at Christmas because there's a scene in Once Upon a Time at Dollywood. And I hated Pigeon Forge. We drove through it one time and ate at a Cece's Pizza. It's like Myrtle Beach of the mountains. Mm-hmm. And but the descriptions of Dollywood at Christmas time, and if I could only see like Dolly Parton on a float, mm-hmm. would be like a bucket list thing. So
yes.
I would pick, and that's one of the scenes. And it's just kind of this cute thing about the playwright who writes these like serious plays about race and identity, and that, but like she wants to go to Dollywood, you know? So I guess it was one of those things I liked about the book. So I would like to go to Dollywood specifically at Christmas time.
Have you ever been to Dollywood?
No, I have not.
Yeah. And I've been down to Tennessee a ton. I've also, we've spent,
I've never been
25 years going down to that area, and never have I been to Dollywood. Mm-hmm.
We saw it one day because we were there one time when like, and Kelsey and a friend of hers who was with us, they did a zip lining thing right near there. But
right by there, yeah.
Yeah, but we never been to Dollywood.
Yeah. I went with Fraser Falls from Holiday Ever After because I would like to live out my Hallmark movie dreams.
Yes, yes.
Well, sounds like a plan.
I would like to wander around the idyllic little town.
I want to live in those houses that are always in the Hallmark movies.
But, yeah, like, and they've got like the wraparound porch.
How do you afford these houses?
Yeah.
They're so cute.
Swing. Yeah. The houses always make me think of one of my favorite movies, Hope Floats.
Yes.
The house that Justin Matisse is building.
Yes.
Love him.
Love that too. That movie.
I love that movie. But that's like, that always makes me think of like the Hallmark movie houses, like with the stained glass windows. Like, I want to go live that life for a little while.
Yep.
So that's what I picked.
Yep.
All right. Next question. What character would you want to have dinner with? Ma?
I would pick Addie LaRue. From The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. She's 300 years old, I believe. And so she's seen it all. She's, you know, has lots of stories to tell. I mean, and being, it was like one of those things is like being with her situation where people forget her and she can't really hold down a job. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's had to do some questionable things in the past in order to be able to survive. And so she would be a really interesting person to talk to.
Yeah.
What about you, Kit?
I am choosing a whole house of people, which is kind of cheating, but I don't care. Yeah. I want to go hang out in the Marauder's house from Art Heist Baby just for one night. I wouldn't want to stay there forever, but like just have a meal because it's chaos. And also I would like to witness in person every ship that has ever sailed in that fandom. Like Wolfstar, Jagulus, Rosekiller, especially for everyone that's listening, that's a fanfic Marauders fan, would like to see Rosekiller in action. Marlene and Dorcas, I want all of it. I want to listen to Regulus Black just talk about art. His character is like obsessed with art and has so much trauma. And I just want to hear what he has to say about all the art. I just would like all of it and to like just hang out for a meal and then be like, peace out, because you guys are too much.
It's a little too much, yeah.
It's a little, I can only handle you for so long. Like a little moment. I want to just take it all in. I want to meet Remus Lupin in person. And then I want to just be like, it's been fun. Carry on. I won't tell anyone about your art heist that you're planning. I promise.
No secrets.
I'll take it to the grave. We're good. But I would just like to witness that in real life for just a brief moment in time.
Good idea. I struggled with this one because I reading all these books about serial killers and thrillers, and I'm like, I don't want to have dinner with any of them. But I was like, no, Merrick from 13th Child. We had a long conversation about that in our last podcast about how we have so many questions for him. So,
and you'd get a delicious cake.
I was like,
and I
that cherry cake sounds delicious. I know she didn't like it, but I would very much like that cake.
Yeah. Especially from Michigan, because listening to Tom Lake.
I know, the cherries.
I never made that connection of Michigan and cherries. So,
Yeah, northern Michigan, too. It's really weird, like, with the climate.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Lots of cherries. Okay, what's our top book recommendations?
So who's going first?
Who wants to go first?
I can go first. Okay. I wrote a lot. I had a lot to say about this book. So I really struggled with picking my favorite book because everything was good. Like, there wasn't really anything where I was like, ugh, no, never. But nothing was like a super standout for me. So I ended up picking Truth or Beard. I didn't love this book, but I think it was like the right book at the right time, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I stuck it out to see the resolution because I was really not happy when I started. But it kicks off with our main character, Jess. She's finished college. She's a highly sought after math teacher because it's a very, very small Appalachian town. Uh-huh. And they don't have a lot of like AP math teachers. So she gets a pretty solid salary going down there. She wants to pay off her student loans. She's only planning on being there for a couple years. And then she wants to travel the world. And this is her dream. Like, she does not want to be a small town girl. Uh-huh. She wants to see the whole world. And then she's at like a Halloween event. She sees like the crush that she's had for her entire life. His name is Bo. He's a twin. And she fully just makes out with him and then discovers it's the wrong twin brother.
Oh, shit.
And frankly, I've been there. It's not fun to be like, oh, you're not who I thought you were. I have a crush on your brother, but here we are. Well, anyways, I could relate.
Okay. But okay.
The other brother is Dwayne. And Dwayne has had a longtime crush on her. So he's like, yeah, baby. Like, he's like, this is the greatest moment of my entire life. But then she kind of like slides into this weird relationship with Dwayne where she's like, oh, maybe I do like him. Like, maybe I just was like holding on to this, like, because they grew up together as kids. I'm holding on to this like weird, like childhood and like adverse, like headbutting kind of like relationship. And she's like, but maybe I do kind of like him. So now she's in a relationship with him, but he is like, I think we're suited for each other. I want to court you right. And he's like bringing her flowers. And she's like, that's not like, that's very sweet, but it's also not really what I'm into or what I need. Mm-hmm. But he's like, your end goals. Like, we're going to get married and have babies and live with the white picket fence. There is nothing about these two characters that goes together. And the whole time I was like, if these two fuckers end up together because one of them has to give up their dream, I'm gonna be pissed. Because that's how you kind of felt like it was going. Like, she was gonna have to give up her dream of traveling the world and seeing the world to become like Susie Homemaker. Because that's how she was gonna like make Dwayne happy. Or Dwayne was gonna like let her go because he's not going to ask her to stay back. And a lot of the book was literally them being like, I'd never ask you to leave. I'd never ask you to stay. And then like behind the scenes being like, I really want him to ask me to stay. Or like, why can't she just ask me to go with her? I was like, if you two mess this up somehow. But then in the end, I'm not going to tell you how it ended, but it did end with that kind of like the ending they need versus the ending I wanted.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Okay, I was preemptively mad, but the author found like a very nice middle ground that felt like an actual resolution that would be made if you were like really serious about someone. You find that like nice compromise. But for a good chunk of the book, I was like, ooh, if she gives up her dream of travel for this man, like, we're going to have words. But it was a nice, happy medium, I think. And I think any book that makes you like that invested in like what's going to happen is worthwhile, even if it's
that's
not
true. Even if you're not, fight. Even if it's not. Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you're like, oh, I just want to know how it ends. Like, I cared enough to know how it ended.
Yeah.
Because I could have just been like, nope, don't want it.
Yeah. But right.
The writing made me invested enough that I was willing to stick it out just to see how it panned out. So I think that that's a worthwhile bit of writing. Mm-hmm. How about you, Sarah?
I cheated a little and put two down only because Devil in the White City is definitely not for everybody. It was the first, I think, nonfiction book I ever read. And I take that back because I read some when I was in high school. But first I'd read like as an adult in a long time and I was like blown away by it. If you like history, if any of that kind of, and for me, I have a weird fascination with things that are abandoned. You know, I'm one of those people that can go like,
down a rabbit hole for hours looking at
yes.
amusement parks that have been abandoned and things like that. So that kind of the whole World's Fairs fascinate me, how it like was there and now it's not, but there's still remnants sometimes. Yes. Coney Island's another thing that fascinates me for that reason, like those amusement parks that used to be there, but now they're not. And so if you're into history, if you like how it meshes together, it is a lot of history, especially with the architecture piece of it. And how Chicago was even chosen and all that. But I felt like it was such a nice balance with H.H. Holmes that you're just like, I got to keep reading because I want to know what happens next.
Yeah.
Or Rebel Witch. I just thought that series was great. It's a duology. And everyone's always looking for, when you want a romanticity, I'm like, I don't want 10 books. I just want to be two, maybe three and be done. And this is this was perfect for that reason. And it's about witches instead of kind of the standard, what everyone's into right now, the fairies and dragons and all that. So those are my.
Did you see that the white stag is out and about in the Highlands in Scotland right now? Which means that the fae portals are open. As like the mythology that goes with that, that when you see the white stag,
how often do they see it? Like,
I have no idea. I saw like a video right before we got on that like was like the white stag has been spotted, which means the veil is thin. And someone else was like, I for one welcome our fae overlords because it can't possibly be any worse.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to Scotland in 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Well,
so,
look for it then. Look for the white stag.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll have to find out more about this.
Scientifically, we know white stags, but it's still, it's rare. Like albino animals are rare. So that's why I kind of like, I totally 100% buy into that folklore.
Yes, me too.
Yes.
I'm absolutely the person that would be like, I will follow you through this portal and see what happens. All right, Marianne, back on topic.
Okay.
What was your favorite book of the month?
I already did mine, didn't I?
Well, kind of. You did. I mean,
you talked about
you
it
want
earlier.
To add more.
No.
Because you said you loved it so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I definitely added this one to my.
I need to be read. Yeah. I thought it was really good. I mean, her parents made me really angry with the way they dealt with her trauma. Yeah.
We read a ton this month, that's for sure.
We did. I feel like every month we're like, I didn't read as much this month as last month. And then we're like, by the way, we can talk for a straight hour about all the books we read this month.
Yeah, no kidding.
But that brings us to, what are we reading next?
Well, I obviously,
who wants to go next?
I just started Scorpio Races because yesterday was November 1st.
The 1st of November.
My husband was laughing at me and I brought it upstairs. I was like, guess what time it is?
I was like,
he's like, you are so weird.
Like, yes, I am. Thank you so much.
So I started that. And then I also started listening to The Unmaking of June Farrow by Adrienne Young today. That's another one that's been kind of on my list. So those are the two I have. My one on audio, one in actual book in my hands.
Nice.
Yeah, what about
you, Mary? How about you, Ma?
I just finished The Holiday Fling by Farrah Heron. It was a very cute like holiday romance. She writes, her books are set in Canada. Which is just a nice reminder for us North Americans that the United States is not the only country in North America. And then I just started an arc of a book called The Great Outdoors by Kayla Olson. I read a couple others of her books. Just cute rom-com. Kit, what you reading?
Yes. So I'm still rereading A Knight in Shining Armor by Jude Devereaux, which is taking me forever to read because I'm reading it in like the tiniest little bites, but it's so good.
I want to reread that one too.
I like forgot. Like when I saw it on the shelf in the library, I was like, yes, fate has spoken. We are rereading this. And then I have to pick my next unhinged holiday read. If you guys would like to chime in, I have a couple titles.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. These are all, for those of you listening, free on Kindle Unlimited.
Okay.
We have Full Sack. A Thanksgiving Monster Ever After erotica. That's choice one. I'm giving you no context because I'm not even going to read the descriptions. Choice two, Home for the Gobble Days. An erotic Thanksgiving ghost story from the I Got You Boo book series.
I Got You Boo.
I Got You Boo book series. And then the last one is a Thanksgiving to Remember. A Monster Mash holiday story. I'm going to go with vampires for that one.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving. So those are my three choices.
There's also Harvesting the Hottie, but I didn't like the cover on that one, so I mixed it.
that doesn't sound unhinged enough for you. So
no, it's not. And like, it's like a model girl, and she's like, ooh, like standing with pumpkins. And I was like, oh, that doesn't sound nearly crazy enough.
I feel like the Fang one.
See, I was going for the full sack.
Full sack. You know? That, I thought about that one, too. I was like, title. Full sack is kind of... And that was specifically Thanksgiving, too, wasn't it?
That was.
I'm trying to figure... Yeah.
And it involves... I've now clicked on it.
Shut up. I just looked at the cover.
Oh, my God.
Read this one.
He can procure anything. His price, to be paid on her knees. When Jennifer's cat falls ill, her only chance to save him is to find Raccoon, an elusive dealer in all things rare or impossible. Some call him a wizard, because anything one asks for, he can give for a price. Jennifer is ready to pay. Raccoon's secret power is her only hope, so she will gladly take his magic wand in her mouth and do as he says.
Wow.
Except for Raccoon doesn't want her to just kneel and open up. He wants to be Jen's date to her family's Thanksgiving. But Jennifer would rather choke on him and be done with it, because if Raccoon keeps pushing, she might develop a case of feelings. He's just too perfect. Except Raccoon is not what he seems. First, his name is Raccoon.
Raccoon. The fact his name is Raccoon is like...
And falling for a monster man with a sack full of magic is the last thing Jen needs. And here's why we're going to read this one. The
yes.
content note.
Yes.
Are we ready? Did you read it yet, Sarah? The
yes.
content note? Content note. Contains supernatural themes and ridiculous anatomy features, as well as flavored cream. The thing that usually happens in the epilogue is part of the actual story. So beware. Read responsibly and don't try this at home.
Yes. This is a long one. We're gonna go with. This has potential for you. 148 pages.
Yeah, this is like a real book.
You might have content and monster
maybe
smut.
Four character development.
Yeah, listen. I need to, first of all, if I don't find out why this man is named Raccoon by the end of the book, I'm going to be disappointed. Like, how did you get that nickname?
Yeah.
And hopefully her cat is fine. Hopefully,
I know,
you know,
right?
They figure it out and her cat feels better. But also, this cover is amazing. It's amazing. And it's by Layla Faye. Good for her.
It's 3.72 stars on Goodreads.
Yeah.
Although, like, per usual, you got to go through and read some of these. I mean, yeah.
The reviews. Let's see. Let's see what we got for reviews here.
I feel like a changed woman. The Sonia from yesterday will never be the same. Now I want some hot buttered rum.
The fun stuff. He can make his fluid taste like whatever he wants. In this case, apple cider and hot buttered rum.
Hot buttered rum. I'll say, she reread it. This girl reread it. She's like, reread.
Reread. Reread. This one is all caps. Magical sex. The end. people are writing very thoughtful reviews of this book.
I'm just happy to be a vegetarian after reading this book.
I started reading this book on my lunch break at work, and I almost choked and died. I'll never be able to look at posters again. I want like a 1-star review, like someone who hated this book.
I love looking up the 1-stars.
Tell me why. 1-star.
One person got to page 12.
No words. That was not what I was expecting.
Did you see? I can't with this. Oh, did not finish page 12. I can't with this man. Raccoon. No, every time I say that name, I feel weird. And who names their son Raccoon? Instead of imagining this, which is a guy with abs, I was thinking of this, and it's a baby raccoon.
I thought it was going to be like Rocket Raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy.
My goodness.
Did not finish. Really bad book. I don't even have any other words to say to fill up the word count. So this is the entire post.
Pretending my digital imprint doesn't exist right now. Or how do you unwrite someone else's book?
This review... It was a very thoughtful review of, like, why she didn't like it, but just ends with, well, I guess if you're looking for something shocking and overly ridiculous and even a little stupid, this is for you.
Then that is like a ringing endorsement.
That's like, it's exactly what I'm looking for. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
So that's what we're going to read. We'll start with that.
Okay.
I will report back next month on full sec. I'm going to say it exactly like that every time. Full sec.
Perfect.
Full sec. Full sec. All right. I get back to, anyways.
And with that,
back to our podcast.
I'll say, and with that
note,
time to wrap up for this month. If you haven't listened to last month's book club episode, The 13th Child by Erin Craig, why not do it? It's so good. And
so
coming
good.
Up next month, we are featuring The Scorpio Races by Maggie Stiefvater, one of our all-time favorite books, even though it's been out for like 15 years now or whatever.
Yeah, it's 2011,
so
I think.
Never get tired of it. So,
so good.
And don't forget to follow our socials, subscribe to the podcast, and please leave us a review. We want to know what you think.
And if there's a book you want to see us read, feature, or just talk about extensively each month, please let us know. We always want to grow our to-be-read pile.
Yes.
Which sounds sarcastic, but it's not.
It's
like,
not.
I really
it's,
do want. Yeah. I really do want. I want to die buried under my TBR. Mm-hmm. That would make me happy. It just, like, mm-hmm. falls over one day.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. That's how mm-hmm. I would like to go.
So until next time, keep reading.
Keep exploring.
And don't forget to pack the snacks.
Mm,
oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
The end.